Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Jack.
I'm Ty.
And I'm Bill.
And here we're going to be talking about games, game news.
Grames. Give me all the grames.
But first, what you guys been playing?
Ty, go ahead.
You go ahead, Bill.
I can go ahead.
All right.
Well, go for it. I don't care.
You guys have been kind of playing the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
we've been playing Cyberpunk, or attempting to, some of us.
It's a mix.
I'm sure you've all heard about the game-breaking bugs in the game, and I have come across one.
One of the last ones.
Bill, you happen to finish it, right?
I'm right before the last mission, because I want to finish it when you are wrapping up, so then all three of us can talk with like more of a fresh topic.
Okay.
Because we do want to make this a special episode for, not this one, but a future episode specifically about it.
Yeah, because this is something we've been looking forward to for a long time. So, and it's in a genre that we all really like, so...
Yeah,
with a company that we all really like, so we want to do it.
Liked.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that's come to light lately that's just kind of changed things, perspective and stuff.
But it's very interesting.
Yeah, but I have a game breaking bug and a main mission that I cannot proceed, so I'm stuck in the middle of the game and I can't do anything else. So until that gets patched, I was playing other things. Like, I was playing Bloodborne because I wanted... Mm. I felt so, like, I couldn't complete anything. So I put on Bloodborne, and it felt so much better. So I started playing that. I was streaming it and went through the game pretty quickly.
Nice.
I was doing that. And then we did some Ghosts, right, Bill?
Ghosts is just a multiplayer.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a good time with that. Like, I'm super down to do that again. It's cool. I really like the main game. I didn't finish it. I need to. I really want to. It's on my list. I've got an ever-growing list that I keep ignoring. I feel like that's the traditional way, including the next game we're playing. I really enjoyed the multiplayer. It was really fun playing with you guys. Definitely want to do that again. It's been Cyberpunk and that for me. Are you done with everything, Jack, with yours?
With what?
With your games you've been playing. Yeah. I've also been playing something that we're going to cover later. I've been playing a new mobile game in conjunction with my other mobile game. So I'm an avid player of the Tales of Crestoria mobile game. It's a gacha game, but I super love the storyline with it. I like that it goes, like, it's very lighthearted, but also very deep, which I love. I love the like duality of it. Sometimes it's a little too much on your nose and you're like, let's just get through this chapter. But I like it. They rewrite a lot of the tale's history kind of in a new way too, which is kind of fun. But they have there's a crossover going on with another Eden. And I'll get into that later, but I've been playing that a bunch to try and get through that crossover stuff. That's mostly been what I've been playing. Nothing else too much. It's mostly been Cyberpunk. I have a really broken build that's been really fun to play with. What about you, Ty?
So I've been playing a game that has just a couple less bugs than Cyberpunk, and it's called Hollow Knight. Boom! I did it, guys!
We did it.
Nobody's made fun of Cyberpunk that hard before. Oh, boy! That's my sick joke I've been saving for a week and a half.
I saw someone say that Cyberpunk is so punk, it's covered in patches and it still doesn't work.
I had another one with bugs too, but I don't have it anymore, so.
But, jokes. Legit, I have been playing Hollow Knight. It's my first time ever playing Hollow Knight.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You haven't played it.
Because I realized as I was playing it that I have a funny history with it, where every time I was like primed to get it, something else would come out. So, because when Hollow Knight was out, I was stuck between that and Undertale, and I bought Undertale.
Mm.
And then,
good choice.
And then it was between that and like Hat in Time, and then between that and like Untitled Goose Game, like it keeps happening.
With a bunch of bangers, it was free on PSN. Hollow Knight, was it like last month or whatever it was? So that was October, I think it was.
Yeah, so I downloaded it, and I said a friend of mine, Alvaro, he's been telling me to play it. So I said screw it, and I got it free on PSN. I've been playing it since, and I really enjoy it. I see why people consider it like one of the best games of the year back in 2015. It's very fun.
I was about to say, whenever that came out.
Yeah. I'm having a lot of fun on it. It's really good. I'm not the biggest fan of Metroidvanias, but I do really like it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I've played a little bit of it. I'm probably not going to play much more of it because I'm not super deep into Metroidvanias. Every once in a while, there are ones that are like, yo, I like this one a lot. Like, I really like Sundered. When I played that and a couple other ones, Hollow Knight is really, really solid, like gameplay wise, like the mechanics and everything.
Yeah.
I thoroughly think it's like a great game. I just don't have like I have my list of other things that I actually really want to play. Yeah. So it's not on my list anytime soon. However, I see the quality.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Metroidvanias, Metroid being one of my favorite series of all time. So I can't wait for Silksong. That's going to be so good.
Yeah, like that's
is the that the thing. New DLC?
It's gonna be a sequel.
Oh,
they were doing a DLC, but they're like, it got too big, so we're just gonna make it its own game.
Yeah, like Breath of the Wild 2. But yeah,
like, oh, is that how that's supposed to work with Breath of the Wild 2?
Yeah, they basically kept having more and more bigger ideas for DLC, and they're like, screw it, we're just gonna make a new game.
Oh, yeah, well, they did that with Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah,
oh, that's cool. I didn't know that. Neat.
Yeah, Nintendo has an odd like habit of doing that. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun on it. I'm trying to 112% it, which is beat the game, beat all the DLC.
Cool.
I'm at the end game. I beat the game, but I haven't collected everything, and now I'm going through like the end game hard stuff.
Gotcha.
Be the path of pain.
I'm trying to get enough soul stuff to be able to get to the path of pain.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I saw someone do it on YouTube, and I think I can do it because I'm pretty good with the platforming in this game. I'm like, I surprised myself. I'm pretty decent at it. And after I saw someone play through it, I'm like, okay, I think I could do that in like 200, 300 tries.
I love how clean the mechanics feel, though. Like, so like, if you're good at the game, you're good at the game. Like, it's not bullshitting, you know, like it feels like a very, like you do the thing, it does the thing, like very well done. Everything seems very clean and like dedicated in a way, so I thought it was neat.
Yeah, the controls are super smooth. I think that's the big reason why I've been playing it like as much as I have, is because I'm just like, this game just feels super good.
Really feel like a Hollow Knight.
Yeah, it makes you feel like Hollow Knight.
And also the animation and the music and sound design
All really good.
It is. Do we know what kind of animation they did? Like what they did to like make everything? Because I know it's not like obviously it's not like Cuphead where they hand animated it, but like I
learned back in the day, but I completely forgot now.
I would believe that they did something like extra though, like that, because it looks really good. It looks very clean. Like it looks like somebody like animated it proper, you know. So if you told me it was all digitally animated or something some way, I would believe you.
Yeah, it looks like it was digitally animated. I'm like, I just Googled it, and it looks like they're running the game on Unity, which is
really
very impressive with how smooth everything is.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. Well, like that's the thing with Unity is like if you really know it and if you're really in it, you could make anything look like it's not made on Unity.
Yeah, that's true. There's been some like technical marvels of Unity, I feel like.
yeah, definitely.
Man, that's cool. Oh, I got today. I finally got my white whale of vinyl collecting. It's a VGM, yeah? So it is related to video games. Scott Pilgrim. I finally got it.
I got it for a
deal. There's a very slight on a Monoguchi. There's a very slight ding in the corner. But they're offering like it was like 50-60 bucks under cost that it has been. So I'm like, all right, I'll pitch up the extra, like a little bit extra to get the first press of it plus that. For considering how much I love it, I'm very happy. This has been my white whale of vinyl collecting. Like it's one of my favorite soundtracks ever made. One of my favorite series is. I am so excited. And they're shipping it out today, so that's even better.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll get it before like the first or something. Cause like I love the music of that, like dearly. Like it is one of my favorite video game soundtracks, hands down.
Oh, it's definitely up there. It's like one of the better ones.
When I was working at the shop still, like that would be our regular, like I still walk in the shop and my coworkers will have that on playing. I'm like, cool. Like it is that good. Like you walk into our shop, people are like, is this from a video game? It's like, yeah, bro, Scott Pilgrim. I'm wearing my Scott Pilgrim shirt right now.
Yeah.
So like, I'm very, very, very excited to get this. Like I said, White Whale. Plus we have the Persona 5 vinyl repress. I just need to do a dedicated, like, this week in vinyl, like VGM vinyl or something topic every week, because it's going to happen anyway. either way, I'm so happy that I'm finally able to add this to my collection. It's one of my biggest wants for years. I was able to buy it back closer to release for, well, like, or like when I was really getting into it, for probably closer to like, probably in the $60 to $80 range. Yeah. Now it's up in the like 160 range, right around there. And big regrets. Same thing with the Persona 5 vinyl. Like it was, I was able to find it for like a little over cost. Yeah. And it shot up to like $400. So with this repress, obviously it's, you know, I was able to get it at cost. And now we got Royal Music. So that's super hype. I'm very excited for that. Yeah, so I had to throw that in because I always need to talk vinyl. and you got that Kirby one coming up, Ty.
I'm so excited. Yeah. I've been keeping like I check on that like Instagram like every other day.
Yeah, there's somebody just posted like one of the previous pressings of it. I'm like, man, it just looks so good. I like the Kirby music, but I'm not nearly as into it as you are, so I'm like, I might still get it. Because like the guys who do it, Paper Street Cuts, did a phenomenal job with their the Mario 7-incher that they did. Mm-hmm. And it was the animated one. It was really cool.
I know that it's going to be main series music, and I don't think that they'll ever do it, or if they ever do it, it's going to be pirated. But they actually did a live concert for Kirby music. I would kill to get my hands on a vinyl for that, but I don't think it exists.
To my knowledge, Nintendo, maybe they've done some orchestra stuff, but in terms of vinyl, they've only done one, and that was the Crypt of the Nectodancer with Zelda music.
Yeah.
And that was only through a special promotion. That's the only like official Nintendo vinyl you'll find. Otherwise it's pirated, like bootleg stuff.
Which
is increasingly hard to find, or just like maybe they're covers, you know, things like that. Like I'm working on that pressing, and one of the song is, I think it's from Kirby Superstar. Yeah. Or something like that. It's Pop Star. And it's a cover. Like it's not even a cover. It's like kind of a rendition. Mm. It sounds very good. I love it, but like it's a much easier like license to get rather than being able to actually do a pressing of Nintendo music, because it's basically impossible because it's Nintendo. And they don't do licensing like other companies do either. So yeah, it's weird.
Nintendo. The only time that they do it is if it's for something huge like Nintendo World. Mm.
And they only work with like super big companies and stuff like that. That's why you don't see any mainline series actually have legitimate finals.
Yeah.
So. But should be cool. Yeah, they have such good music. It's a bummer. Mm. But we all know how Nintendo likes treats their fan projects. So, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, are we ready to move on to our main topics?
Yeah.
Yes. But first.
Someone who does license out stuff. Here's our advertisement.
All right.
And that was our sponsor. And now for a non-sponsored section of the podcast.
You mean the regular podcast?
About the regular podcast. Have you guys heard about the KFC console? KFC. Yeah, it's the KF console. You're right.
Yeah,
the KFC console.
Yes. Yes, I have.
It's not fake. It's real. It's a thing. It's happening.
I try and be as informed as I can with all things KFC. It's a pride and joy of me. In this house, KFC is like up there. We love it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, I think it's just going to be like a fancy steam box that holds chicken. But
this is back in June.
I completely forgot about it up until they talked about it again.
It was definitely like one of those advertiser things where it like comes into your head and you're like, oh, that's weird. And then you just like immediately shove it into the void. Like, I think didn't Wendy's make a diss track or something? Like,
maybe
there's all these like weird things that I have like these vague memories of, but you know, they come and go, like it's advertising.
Yeah, it's the marketing of it, but you do remember it eventually. Yeah, because like KFC is freaking like top tier marketing people at this point. It's absurd. What do you have spec wise on this KF console, Jack?
Okay, so this KFC is powered by Intel.
This KFC, this chicken.
This chicken
is powered by Intel.
it is an Intel Nuke 9 Extreme Compute Element. So it's a Core i9 ninth gen.
Yeah, I remember it being fairly high spec considering it's an i9.
Yep, it's
i9. And it holds the fact that it's an i9 and holds chicken, I think, is a win-win.
It's an Asus GPU.
Okay.
And it's got that PCIe NVMe speeds that are 6 times faster. It's got 2 Seagate Barracuda 1 terabyte SSDs.
2 of those? Solid states then? Yeah, that's awesome. Solid states.
It's VR that's ready. A lot. It's got ray tracing, and it claims 240 frames per second with up to 240 hertz output.
Okay, on
4K displays.
So I'm sure this is just like a pre-built, like a nice pre-built computer, basically.
That's what it seems.
Is what it sounds like then.
But the selling point, though. It holds chicken. It is a chicken warmer.
Oh, warms it. I didn't realize it warms it.
Yeah, it's a chicken chamber. You put your chicken in it and it warms it up.
It does say world's first built-in chicken chamber. What
the hell? Oh, man.
You can see the design on their webpage of like most of the console. It looks like 50-60% of the console is just for the chicken chamber.
Sorry, really quick. I really love never risk letting your chicken go cold again thanks to the patented chicken chamber utilizing the system's natural heat and airflow system. You can now focus on your gameplay, enjoy hot crispy chicken between rounds.
They have made the dream. That is the dream. We have reached nirvana.
Yeah.
I like how we're like practically doing a Munch Squad segment here. Like, I'm just dying at the image of the console with the chicken in it.
I know. It's amazing. I need one of these. I think they're fairly limited too. I'll talk with my roommate. I feel like he would get one with like we would split one together.
That's the thing about it is how do you buy this?
Well, here's the thing. We don't
know yet.
We don't have a release date. And I believe it's just a PC. It doesn't say it's a PC. But it's there. We have the design, so that's a step.
Yeah.
Which just looks like a bucket of chicken.
It really does. It looks almost like a rice cooker, actually.
Yeah.
Like an Instant Pot. Again, KFC's marketing has been amazing. They've had the seasoned pass, which is like every week you get chicken for like a ridiculously low price and you get like tickets and each one has like a QR, like a, not a QR code, but like a code that you get chicken for every week. That was like a ridiculous cheap one that they did a low quantity of. My roommate got one. It was amazing for weeks on weeks and weeks. We just got chicken. And then the last week for like the Super Bowl, you get double. We got the dating sim.
Yep.
We've got the 15-minute Lifetime movie, Recipe for Seduction. Mm-hmm. Guys, we watched it. We watched Recipe for Seduction.
Watched Recipes for Seduction. We haven't.
I'm talking about me and my roommate. Yeah. We watched it together. Oh, man. It was exactly what you expected from it. It's so corny. It was so... They didn't. You know what? Surprisingly, they mentioned chicken like... They mentioned once, and then the guy had a secret recipe. Maybe, and then at the end, they took a bite. Like, they very, very the actual, like, amount of chicken was fairly low. I expected way more, to be honest. But it was all about his secret recipe and how this girl was getting going to get this guy proposed to this girl. The girl didn't love him. And then after like one outing, she fell in love with the colonel. The colonel had this like recipe. The family was going broke, this like rich family. And that's why they wanted her to marry the rich dude that was like a jerk. And but the mom and the dude had like a fling going on and all this other crazy stuff. And I just it was sexy colonel time, man. I and there's not much else to say. Like it was the colonel had this secret recipe that he was gonna like make millions on, but he was just like a chef for the state or whatever. But she was in love with him after one like walk around the area that was pretty short. Which is like, oh, you got a secret recipe. I'm in love with you. Okay. But again, considering like the pacing was really bad, but it was 15 minutes for a Lifetime movie. So that was considered, I think that considered a win. I had enough time to eat my box of chicken. This was one of the first things. So I just got off a diet. This was one of the first things I did when I got off my diet was watch this movie and eat a thing of chicken. It was pretty great. I got to say.
A great way to end your diet.
Yeah. Right.
Truly.
I have no complaints. It was a good time. We have it recorded. If you guys ever like whenever this is over or whatever, you want to come over, we do a chicken party, I'm open. I will watch that because it was so bad. But yeah, it was sexy colonel time and I was about it. It was just enough time to eat my KFC. So it worked. And yeah, they've been literally killing it. The dating sim is ridiculous. It's very goofy. It's obviously also not very long because it's a marketing thing. Super fun. They've been killing it. Mm-hmm. And now we have the KF console. Like the quality of things we've been getting for them for free.
Yeah, they're just going.
I think I want one of these now.
Yeah, like so obviously I always have to be the worry wart. Like because I'm just wondering, okay, so like if they make the KF console, so with the specs that they're boasting, that'd be an expensive console. So yeah. My guess is it's either A, they're not going to deliver on the specs and it's going to be like a 7,000 games in one, like plug and play.
Mm.
Or, oh, what controller do we use? Whatever.
Chicken. I meant they just have like a greasy pad that you like rub the chicken on.
Yeah. Or instead it's of the like mouse.
Oh, can we get a promotional mouse that's a chicken? Like a chicken wing?
Yeah, that'd actually be dope.
Right.
Like egg.
I once had a mouse that was a Iron Man helmet, and that was the coolest thing. But it was really shittily made, so it broke really quickly.
All of us are like, exactly.
But it had like glowing eyes. It was super cool.
Yeah.
But even if it is, I want my chicken wing.
So
mouse. I want my chicken wing mouse.
my other concern is if it does have those specs. And if it's a Steam box, how much will it cost?
Yeah, I think considering all the specs, it's got 2 terabyte solid states, which like PlayStation, Xbox don't even have. That's going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. You're probably looking, I would argue, $1,000 to $2,000 range, right?
Yeah, because I'm looking on Collider right now. Mm-hmm. Collider has a really good thing where they kind of break down everything.
The KF console?
Yeah, and they said that they think it's just going to be like a limited run, and it's going to be about 2,000. Which
that's what I expect. I expect a limited run thing because that's what almost all of their marketing things have been like. The Lifetime thing, they only aired once. The season pass was super limited. The only thing that wasn't was the dating sim, which makes sense.
Guys, I just realized according to the design, you put the chicken on top of the computer essentially.
And wait, you don't put it under it?
No, like if you look at the design, the computer, all this, the parts and stuff are on the bottom of the console.
Yeah.
The basket's in the center and the top is a vent. So
what you're saying is it's powered on grease.
Yeah. So the grease will drip down onto the parts. But when the heat from the computer makes the chicken rise up through the vent so that you can smell chicken while you're playing games.
Yeah, I heard about that part.
That's great.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I wonder if you can do other things, like, you know, toast a bagel in there or something.
That's a good question. It's specifically a chicken chamber, not a toast chamber. So,
yeah,
that will be the everybody modding their console to make other different types of food. I'll put a little grill in there or something.
This is ridiculous. I love this.
Yeah, like it's a fun idea. I really like it. Like, I'm not going to be all like depresso about it. Like, my only question is like, I just dumb, don't. Get
but I love it.
I don't get the mission. Like, I understand that this is an advertisement. Like, they're just trying to advertise KFC. But it's just like, what is this going to accomplish?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You could probably buy a pre-built PC in the same kind of scope for way cheaper.
Yeah.
That does more.
Conversation with KFC.
Yeah. But once again, this is a
however, you get the chicken chamber. So it won't do the same thing because you'd need the chicken chamber. Yeah. And then your room will smell like KFC all the time. And that's amazing. I want this in my life.
I wonder if this is just a cheap PR scheme. Because you just make a couple consoles for a couple $1,000, which you could have spent on more ads and PR, but you just let the internet talk about it instead. And so they keep bringing up KFC.
It's working. We're talking about it. My buddies at Rediscover Geek talked about it last night. Like, they're working. It's working.
It's absolutely working.
I'm very excited for this for no particular reason other than it's KFC and it has a chicken chamber.
I want to see what happens once it's out.
I want to know more because I might buy one. Like, I might talk to my roommate. We'll pitch in on it. It'll be ridiculous, but
I'm sure I would be down for that.
I know he would. That's the thing.
I will at least look into it.
Yeah. Which means it's working.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's all working.
Look, you could end 2020 on a sad note, or you could end it on chicken chamber. I think I'd rather end it on chicken chamber. Oh, man.
Well, that is the thing. We don't have a release date for this. So
it
could not be 2020 at all.
You could be looking at I want to end my year on chicken chamber.
We have, as of this recording, 7 days left to have a 2020 chicken chamber.
Oh, shit.
Eight days.
That's so crazy. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I know, right? Hearing everybody talk about 2021 feels so far away, but it's next week.
I know. It's crazy. Oh. It's also going to be a fairly sad New Year's, but you know, it's what it is. Yeah.
Speaking of sexy Colonel, you know what else is sexy?
Shirtless Sephiroth.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen them pectorals?
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby. Shirtless Shulk versus Shirtless Sephi. Sephi wins every time, baby.
Hell yeah. So my fiance and I were watching the Game Awards. And, you know, we were just kind of watching for the reveals and then also to make fun of Last of Us for winning and stuff like that. And
yeah, exactly.
Like, as we were going through it, so this, like, they went straight into the Smash trailer. They knew that's what people wanted.
That's the only thing Nintendo did. It was like, here's this, we're out, bye.
Yeah, see ya, deuces. Yeah. And so it shows, like, the trailer, like, it shows the characters and, like, the character, or the Galeem. Yeah, Galeem gets sliced in half.
And like, great, it's another sword character.
Yeah, and my brain's immediately going through, like, okay, so obviously they're trying to project power, and they're trying to project a character that could cut through things. And, like, for, like, a microsecond, I was like, Sephiroth? No.
And no, there's, like, no way, right? And then you're like...
and then the horns come in.
Well, our whole group chat was like, oh, another sword character. Oh,
lost it. We just were screaming the whole time.
I think that was mostly you and me, Jack. Like, I don't even really play Smash at all anymore. And this one had me so excited because it's Sephiroth. Yeah. Like, he's the father of sword characters. He is, like, as we were saying earlier, I think Ty brought it up, was like, he is the anime trope of sword characters.
Yeah, there were people upset because they're like, oh, he's just an anime, like, villain guy. It's like, no, he's
The anime villain guy.
He's the original anime villain guy. He's the anime villain guy that anime villain guys are based off of now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he could be shirtless.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sexiness going on in this episode. We got sexy Colonel. We got sexy Sephiroth.
Let me see if I'm scrolling through my Twitter right now to, like,
Well, when somebody released that first image, I don't know when we got that, because it was after the Game Awards, of him shirtless. Mm-hmm. I lost my ever-loving mind. I'm like, there's no way that they did him shirtless. What? Why? Like, but I'm not complaining, but, like, what?
Yeah.
At the end
Very confused. Huh?
It's at the end of the game.
Oh yeah, I understand that. I'm still amazed that we got that as a costume. Yeah. we've got him shirtless, we've got Advent Children, and we've got Original, right? Is that the three?
No,
I haven't played it.
No, he just has Advent Children and shirtless.
Oh, I guess Evan and Normal's pretty similar.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, that's the thing. If anything, Advent Children's just a little bit more detailed than his normal.
Yeah,
so that makes sense. I assume that they're just like, screw it.
Right, it's not like Cloud where it's completely different. Yeah. That makes sense.
I found my tweet the second that he got revealed, and it's just me misspelling excuse me.
I remember you posting that. That was funny.
Because I was just, like, we were just surprised. Like, yeah. And it was really cool, and I was really happy to see Sephiroth. And like
everyone was, because no one expected him. Yeah. Like, right. People wanted him. Maybe they even joked about him, but like, expecting him with how Square treated Cloud and the Ultimate
game,
he got exactly. nothing.
Yeah.
There was
yeah.
no spirits. There was no new tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah. Just, very under.
They given. Didn't let us do anything.
Yeah, because there's two tracks?
Yeah,
the same two tracks. With Sephiroth, now there's like seven coming in, like on top of the two? Like
yeah, they're doing a bunch of Final Fantasy VII and then Accent Core tracks. And they
three new songs, and there was Advent Children songs.
Yeah.
And Masahiro Sakurai mentioned that they couldn't do seven remake songs because of copyright conflicts.
That's fine.
Which makes sense.
That's also why, like, other, like, last game they didn't get, or this game, Cloud didn't get any because they were still doing
seven
working with that.
Yeah.
No, they're still working with copyright problems. They weren't able to get any.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Because the big thing is, and I may be wrong on this, and, you know, if I'm wrong, comment below, et cetera, user engagement, listener engagement. But
go to Ty's Twitter.
Complain on my Twitter. if I remember correctly, the composer actually holds all the rights to the music.
Yeah, Nobuo Uematsu.
And then he lends it out.
Oh, I didn't know that. Depending. I mean, that's cool, though.
And that's why we can have things like Distant Worlds, and that's why we have the final release of the 7 remake.
See, I am so for IP rights going to the creators and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talked about it before. That's why I love, like, Image Comics, because the creators own the rights to their books.
Yeah,
it's so important because they can diversify, they can make products, they can do all this other stuff at will, and it doesn't get locked into it. It's a little bit more annoying sometimes for if you need the licensing rights or something like that. So it can be annoying.
Yeah,
but it's so much better for just everything when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you look at what was I going to bring up? The thing with Nintendo is, like, they have the rights to all of their music, and they can put it in Smash, and they can kind of, like, do a lot of cross-platform games with it and stuff. But the issue is, like, we don't see releases of those music. Like,
yeah, they pretty keep it pretty lock and key. The only one that I know of that they really, like, at least recently, that they've got any sort of right transference to is Cadence of Hyrule, and those are, like, remixes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I know with Splatoon, they did physical discs and they did concerts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like it. And that's the thing with a lot of Nintendo music is they put it on CD. And
In Japan, at least.
In Japan.
So you always have to import it, and it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. I mean, even I think the soundtracks to like Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire are on iTunes, and it's like it.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things like that. That's why like people who do covers and other like renditions of stuff like OC Remix. That's why I always love it. It's like amazing.
Yeah.
Because like we don't have official support, but we have people making new art out of it, you know? And I'm such a supporter of that. I love people being creative and doing new things, especially new things with people, things that we already love. Like it makes sense because there's a built-in audience to it, but at the same time, it's just like, it's just super cool. I love it.
Yeah. I just wish they had more of a, like, you know, blessing from their, like, you know, tribute. Like,
yeah, 100%. I mean, seeing tournaments get, like, shut down and stuff like that, it's all, it falls under that same, like, we own this, you can't touch it, things like that kind of rights.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's my only issue with it is, like, they have the right to it. And this is something I've been talking about on Twitter a little bit. It's like, it really sucks that they're doing all of this. They're 100% in their legal right to,
mm-hmm.
but it still sucks. Like,
100%.
A lot. Like, Nintendo, we want to buy these things. We want to buy old games. We want vinyls. Like, let us give you money. Why don't you want our money? I don't understand.
It's about control. That's what it is.
I still remember a long while ago I posted on Facebook and I was like, hey, does anybody have this link to this this game soundtrack by Nintendo? I think it was the Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack or something, and I was just kind of reaching out on Facebook, and a friend of mine who's in the music business said, you should support the creators, buy directly from them. And I remember I was like, bro, they're not it's selling Nintendo. It to me.
They're not selling.
I want to buy it. I was like, I would buy it if I could, but my only option is to import a $200 CD.
Right.
Or nothing. Like, that's it.
On his point, though, I absolutely agree. Whenever it's available to support the creators.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
If you guys can, and this kind of just goes out to the audience / you guys / whatever, Bandcamp Fridays, they do it like once a month, they've been doing, where all of the proceeds, instead of like the percentage goes to Bandcamp, they waive those fees. It doesn't matter if it's a physical thing or if it's the digital stuff or whatever. 100% of the money goes to those creators. And in this time, that's even more important. It's once a month on a Friday. I think it's usually like the first, second Friday of the month for the last several months. Bandcamp has been doing that where they waive all the fees. And it's amazing. It's literally been keeping independent artists alive the last couple months. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's usually when I try to buy stuff from Bandcamp. I'll usually push off purchases or like cover album purchases until Bandcamp Fridays. But it's just like, might as well.
Unless it's a rare vinyl that I can't get, that's what I try and do as well. Yeah.
That's what I always used to do. There's an 8-bit band that I'm quite fond of. Or is it an artist? I don't know if it's one guy, called Slime Girls. And that's how I found out about Bandcamp Fridays. And I bought their entire discography, I bought their entire discography, and then they opened up a private store, and I got a cassette tape from them.
Oh, nice! That's awesome. Yeah, it's such a good thing that they're doing. So if you don't know about it, now you do. Support independent artists, especially in this trying time when like they'd be playing, you know, those dive bars and stuff like that, and you know, making just enough and stuff like that. Like, because music in terms of like monetary value has lost so much in the last several decades. With the advent of streaming, unless you're already a superstar, you barely make any money on it. It's a pretty absurd. So buy things off Bandcamp, stream off other places, support their Patreon, things like that. Like, you're getting the music for cheap or free or whatever. I love using Spotify. It's one of my main ways I listen to music. However, mostly as discovery, I like to do it. I'll go on and use their pre-made playlists and like dig through stuff. Like, they're like, oh, I think you'd like this. At this point, they know my musical taste pretty well because I've been using it for a long time. I've been a subscriber for premium for a long time and stuff. So they have a pretty good collection of the things I like. They legitimately are great and amazing for finding out about new artists. If you can do anything about it, this is when you go online, find the place that you like their music, buy their stuff, listen to the music other places, because they will make more money off of it than Spotify. They give you, you know, it's like a penny every X amount of plays. It's pretty terrible.
That's why I generally like we're gonna rant, but at the same time I know this is kind of a short episode right now. That's why, especially for like fan artists and stuff, I always try to avoid using Spotify. Like, I think last time I used Spotify was over a year ago now, because it's just like finding recommendations and then trying to find the Bandcamp page and then trying to find their store, and it's worth it to go through the effort because you get the genuine product. And it's a lot easier to keep up with them if you're constantly checking in on them.
Well, it's so nice because Spotify integrates with so much stuff. Like, I can have it on my TV, I can have it on my PlayStation, I can have it on my phone, I can have it through my computers, I can have it through everything. Like, it's such a useful app that, like, I'm not discouraging people to use it, because, again, I use it all the time. But do what you can to do your research. If you like somebody's music, somebody put a lot of work into that. Like, support them.
Yeah.
Just because it has thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, or even 100,000 of views, they're still not making that much money on it, I can promise you.
Yeah. Get a shitty little MP3 player and just listen. That's what I do. Like, I keep everything on my phone. Like, I refuse to use Apple Music. I refuse to use Spotify. Like, I just download stuff and I listen to it. And I pay for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I agree.
My phone. I don't have Apple or anything, but yeah, I definitely do that.
Yeah. I have a lot of like stuff on my phone, but I also like the convenience of Spotify. Cause again, I like exploring new music because that's how I could support new people. That's how my tastes grow. You know, like, did I like lo-fi to the extent that I do now before? No, but now I love it. Like, that's what I put on, like going to bed and stuff now. Like I put on I think it's Chilled Empire on YouTube. They are phenomenal because it's 24/7 and just, it is the best lo-fi stuff that like, it's just the most chill, like ambiance music that, and I love it. It's just on all the time now. Did I like it as much last year? No, but I got super into it. And thanks to Spotify, like not that specific channel, but like thanks to Spotify, really got into it like way more. And that's what happens is I discover stuff through there, and one thing leads to another, and I find more of that music and you dig.
Yeah.
It's a great tool, you know?
Yeah.
And it's worth using. But if you can support it, like if you're enjoying something, pay for it. Yeah. So
definitely.
I sound like a broken record.
Yeah. But to get back to the main topic.
Sexy Sephiroth. Got it. Sexy Sephiroth. That's
right. That's where they rolled him out early. Masahiro Sakurai did a, like, I don't want to call it an expose, but he did a
gameplay presentation.
Gameplay presentation.
The breakdown that he did.
Yeah, and his gameplay presentations are always pretty good. So he did his little gameplay presentation, revealed that Sephiroth is coming out on the 22nd, but you can play him early if you beat him, and if you have the DLC downloaded and everything. Mm-hmm. So that started the Sephiroth challenge, where you have to beat him to unlock him, and also led on to its own set of shenanigans that's hilarious. Because obviously everybody was like, oh, I get to play Sephiroth early. People tried to speedrun the fights. He tells you the final time. And I think the final
world record holder.
Yeah. The final world record holder was Hungry Box. And I think it was like 2.5 seconds.
Wow.
Something insane. He did
that's absurd.
Gimp move.
Yeah. So the cheese of the fight is that you pick a Mii Brawler, you jump towards him, and then he has to walk back like some amount. You jump towards him, you do neutral A, and then you do a special that suicides. Sephiroth dies first. So, like,
that's amazing.
The previous world record was 350 or something. 3 seconds, 50 seconds, or 3.5 seconds.
That's absurd. And then
I forgot what he did.
Was it very hard as well? Because there's easy, normal, and very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. This is all in very hard. I'm trying to remember the cheese threat he did, but it was nuts.
I love so much that they did that. Like, the Sephiroth fights are always amazing. I feel like this, for me, stems straight out of, like, a Kingdom Hearts thing where, like, he is the secret boss kind of thing. It's so cool.
Kingdom Hearts we didn't have.
It's so dumb. Like, one of my favorite memories of hanging out with you, Jack, maybe not my favorite, but, like, one of my memories of hanging out with you is, like, there was one time you were playing through, I think it was Kingdom Hearts. Is it 2 or 1 that had the harder fight? I can't remember.
2 has, I would say,
I think it was 2.
When you get it, there's a lot of air combat in 2.
It was like one of the first time you were playing on like the hardest modes or whatever.
Oh, that was been 2, because in 1 it's in the Colosseum.
Yeah, I think it was 2. I'm pretty sure, because you're like on that rock or whatever, right? Yes. In 2? Yeah. I remember you spending so much time trying to beat that on like the hardest mode. It was ridiculous. And I remember like I would come back over and you're like, damn, he's still playing that like days later. And I'm like, that's why my heart was like, man, this is so fitting for Sephiroth to do something like this. I loved it. I thought it was such a smart thing for them to do. Of any character to do that, Sephiroth, it's perfect.
Yeah, he's also like, you know, the first boss villain DLC character we got. But it's also a cool, it feels like you're actually unlocking him instead of just buying him. Because like you don't unlock any of the other DLC characters in any way. You just get them in your inventory.
I miss the unlocking stuff. Because like I felt like this one was like, it was fine, but like it wasn't clever. Like Melee. Remember in Melee where you're like, I've got to leave my GameCube on for 150 hours.
Yeah, just to get Mewtwo.
Yes, you're right.
You need to do, like, kill 100 people in 100-man melee.
It's ridiculous.
Mewtwo or something.
Yeah.
And I love all the alternate ways to do it, too, because, like, and it just led to, like, a really cool branching path, whereas this one, I felt like you didn't really get that nearly as much.
Yeah, so. It was literally just, like, every 10 fights, you get a guy.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Or you can,
I mean, like,
you can unlock them in the main, the story.
In the story. Mode, yep.
Which is fine.
But yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, man. So like that felt very much a like, cool, here's a secret thing. Like it reminds me of like Giga Bowser fight, right? Like obviously you don't unlock Giga Bowser then, but like it's still like, oh, check out this neat thing, you know, that we have in here.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's like something. So I really like fighting games, as you guys know, and they've generally avoided it for tournaments because, like, obviously, if you're bringing like 500 setups for this game, like all of them
have to have
all of the unlocked characters and stuff.
Right.
It does make sense. Which I forgot what game it was, but there was one game that they were doing where, to practice with a character, you had to go through all the stuff and you had to unlock them, and then there was also tournament mode. Which you put in a like code or something like that was given out to like specific tournaments, and it would like just unlock everything immediately.
Oh, interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it kind of is that like new player, like, oh, I have to learn this character before I unlock this other character and stuff.
I love that.
Like, I can't remember what game it was. It might have also just been a floating concept. I don't remember. But
if not, that should be a thing because it helps so many people.
Yeah. And like, you know, that's the first thing that really gets you invested in a fighting game is just learning the characters. So when you're kind of forced to play these characters to unlock other characters, like it just,
yeah,
you know, you get that like kind of zing of just like, oh, that's new. Like, I want to play with that.
Right. No, it's neat.
Yeah. Also, final world record score from Hungrybox was 2 minutes or 2 seconds and 2.75 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And he got it by picking Game & Watch and immediately getting a 9.
The 10, oh, okay.
That's what it was. Dope. You just did it. You just run at him and use the 9. Bong.
That's awesome.
I will say that I got my time. Of course, I had to be Cloud and beat him on very hard. I don't main Cloud, so it was very difficult. But I finally got a time of 17 seconds and 17.63, I think, because I was able to. I got lucky when he tried to get me off stage and I hit him and he couldn't make it back on stage before I died. Nice. So I got lucky with a really awesome time.
That's awesome. Sephiroth amiibo when?
I know. Yeah. Is it going to come with a shirtless variant? Because I would love that.
I would consider buying both of them. I'm not an amiibo guy. Like I have, I think like 5-6 of them, something like that. Because it's just like, these are characters I like. I think I have a Pikachu one because I got it for on like cheap. When they first dropped, I got, and then Toon Link. I got Shulk because I wanted it to unlock stuff in Xenoblade Chronicles when I was playing that. I got Joker, Cloud. I think that's it. I might have one more I'm not thinking of, but it's very minimal.
I have
but Jack has all of them.
Cloud has two different ones, and so does Bayonetta.
Do you have both of the variants?
Yeah. Of course.
You got to let me know when the Sephiroth drops because I want it.
Well, I'll let you know.
It'll be a while.
Banjo's
Banjo's up for pre-order.
Banjo's up.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, Banjo. Yeah. I don't. Nah. Banjo's fine, but it's not. It's not Zephy.
I don't know. Banjo was my hypest character for Smash.
I almost bought the Dragon Quest main character, but I ended up passing because I'm like, I just want Joker, and I have to like order it
pass on
delivered. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember right when Smash like came out, there was the big like push to get the amiibos, and people were scalping like ridiculous amounts of money.
Oh my gosh!
And
I know all about that.
I actually got a very early. I got a no scalping money Zero Suit Samus amiibo, like the day after it came out, and people were immediately scalping it for like 65. And I was just, I just like immediately took it out of the packaging. I put it in my little display case. I'm like, I have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about a fourth of my amiibos are imported from Japan because of the whole scalping stuff
in
America. It was so
I'm a huge fan of collecting for me. So there's guys who like buy vinyl stuff and they're like, yeah, I haven't taken that out of the package. I'm like, then what was the point of buying it? Yeah. Like I'm all about keeping things in good condition, obviously. And like if I can keep some of the special packaging or like whenever I get something that has a sticker on it, I'll like make sure to cut around the sticker and put it like in the sleeve or something or things like that. So everything's still there and it maintains that. But I'm like, I'm not going to not open this. This is like something I want. I spent money on this. 100%.
It's the art. You're here to experience the art. What are you doing?
So, Exactly. So, like, I understand the collector aspect to an extent, because I've worked with a ton of guys who are like, yeah, this is my Gem Mint 9.8 CGC rated, you know, Superman number 13. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. I want to read that, though, you know? Obviously, yeah. I'm not going to with something that old, but, like, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I'm the same. Like, whenever I get a vinyl, the first thing I do is open it and listen. Like, you know, kind of give it a quick listen through. Like, I do like the collector's aspect, and I understand the collector's aspect. But as you know, a lot of my collector's aspect is, like, in my trading card game stuff. Like, everything mm-hmm. else I could care less about, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and with trading card stuff, if you get stuff signed, it devalues it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. If you get something signed, it's for you. It's not for anyone else.
100%. That's why I have my Kageyama signed thing. I have my I think, Mordia signed thing. I got whatever. And, like, just about all the comics I have, like, signed and stuff, those are the ones I've read. Like, I have the Marvel series signed by both I have them signed by Alex Ross and I think it's Busek who did the art. Mm-hmm. I have those all signed. And one of them has, like, this giant crease, and I'm like, yep, these were mine. I read them. Like, I didn't keep good condition of that one. It happened, but these are the ones I read. That's why they're signed. It's for me. So that's what I'm about.
Well, for all those collectors of amiibos out there listening, all of my amiibos are opened.
So go ahead, don't DM me.
Fine.
I don't think there's really a good way to DM Jack. So, you know, there's that. But yeah, so I don't know. That's me and, like, how I believe in collecting and stuff. But I understand the other ones. I've worked with enough people. I've been around it enough. But you don't work in the, you know, Comic-Con industry without understanding it, you know. Yeah. Either way, I think we've rambled on about, like, three different topics since Sephiroth. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move forward into my topic, I think, if that's cool with you guys. So this week was the 25th anniversary of the Tales of series. As you guys know, like, one of my favorite JRPG series. It means a lot to me. It's one of my favorite. I've played just about all of them to some extent, even the ones that are, like, Japanese only. And they've been alluding to a bunch of stuff that I'm very excited about. But there is, like, a slew of news and different stuff that has come out and content. So I'm going to go over a bunch of it right now. So there's a 25th anniversary live stream where they talked about a bunch of stuff, did a bunch of stuff. They had little snippets of things. So the news I'm going to start with is, and we're just going to move on from there, is the Tales of series gets a new dedicated YouTube channel where they're going to start uploading all of the anime stuff. There was animations for Phantasia, Eternia, Symphonia, Abyss, and Zestiria. Mm-hmm. All of those are getting their animated stuff, which it has to be a joint thing because most of those are done through, I think, Funimation. And Symphonia and Phantasia are not currently available outside of Japan. I don't know if they're going to be with this one. But I hope so. The OVA, because, like, Phantasia was short. I think it's only, like, 4 episodes, and it's very condensed. That needed a little bit more. But the animation's cool. It's really cool seeing some of my favorite characters come to life on animation. I haven't seen the Eternia one anime, but I heard it's decent. The Symphonia one, I've seen half of, because when I was watching it, they only had the first half out. Many, many, many moons ago. And then the Tethe All arc came in, which is, like, the second half of the game, which is probably the best part of it, came out. And so that apparently was really good, the second half of it. So I need to go back to it. There's the Tales of the Abyss anime, which is, like, I think it's, like, 20-something episodes. And Zestiria, which is also, like, 2 seasons long. All of them, I think, were decent renditions. They're not perfect, but I liked it. It's cool that they're uploading them onto the YouTube channel to be able to watch it. Starting today, or starting, I think, a couple days ago, they're available starting. I think they have the first episodes of Eternia, Abyss, and Zestiria on, I think, is what they had uploaded last time I checked. I don't know if they've updated it since then. Yeah. But it's still cool being able to do that and having a free option outside of Funimation to watch them. There's also the crossover event that I was talking about earlier with the mobile game called Another Eden. This is a turn-based RPG mobile game. They already have a crossover with Persona. Both of these are permanent crossovers, meaning you could start the game anytime. Right now, there's a new player bonus where you get, like, I think 2 free pulls worth if you do both the prologue and just for starting the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a decent, you get a 10 pull for free. And so they're featuring the characters from Tales of Phantasia, Tales of Berseria, Tales of Vesperia, and Tales of Azilia, being Kress, Yuri, Milia, and Velvet as characters that are playable, and you get them. So once you hit chapter 3, you can start those quests. Once you hit chapter 13, you can finish all of those quests. Same thing with the Persona series ones, same kind of thing. Which is cool. So you can kind of do them all at once and you get like a whole slew. I think you get like 8 characters from both of those crossover events, which is pretty neat. And supposedly, I think one of the units in the Tales series and one of the units in the Persona series are both like higher tier units. I mean, all of them can be upgraded to 5-star, which is the highest ranking. But two of them are like used in like moderately decent teams, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, they're like the kind of staple characters.
Yeah, which is neat. I'm pretty excited about it. We also got so there's a new like Instagram and social media thing that they're referring to as Tales of Memoria. I think it's just Tales of series on Instagram and probably other places. And they're doing like little snippets from each game. And so people are leading up to is I think they're doing a Tales of Series 25th anniversary, like maybe a collection or something, because there's a bunch of games that we've never gotten in English that and never been acknowledged in English from Namco being like getting content for it. So like Tales of Rebirth, for example, Tales of Destiny 2. All this stuff is getting like these trailers in English, not like gameplay in English that we've seen. They're not really showing much gameplay, but they're showing little bits of stuff. So it's like, are we getting these Japanese only exclusives? Because they're still part of what are considered mainline titles, and we just never got them. But they could just be going over the whole series as a whole, which is fine. Still neat, because all of them have ratings, like European ratings and stuff like that. So people are like, are we getting this like collection? And if so, that'd be amazing. Because like Tales of Rebirth, for example, considered one of the better mainline games that we didn't get out here. So it's very exciting to potentially be getting that. Tales of Destiny is a sequel to Tales of Destiny 2 is a sequel to Tales of Destiny. Follows a couple years later. Out here, we got Tales of Eternia, I think marketed as Tales of Destiny 2. So it's pretty interesting to see that actually coming to play. There's a bunch of other stuff I could be talking about it, but that's the big thing is we could be getting some sort of collection featuring stuff that we've never gotten before because they're kind of putting a highlight on it. Also, a little bit before that, we also got a Tales of 25th Anniversary Orchestra concert where a live orchestra played a bunch of like the like key song. Like they played one key song from each game. We got like the opening Starry Heavens from Tales of Symphonia. We got Meaning of Birth from Tales of the Abyss. Tales of Phantasia's main song from the PS1. A bunch of other stuff too. A lot of really good music. We got that happened a little bit before that. I think it happened. Was it back in September or something when that actually dropped? Maybe it was a little bit before, but it was part of the 25th anniversary celebrations. Some really good symphonic like music of it. I really enjoyed it. I keep actually playing it while I'm working on other stuff in my background.
Yeah.
The whole orchestra is on YouTube. You can watch it now. They're doing a CD of it actually too for like, it was like $37 including tax and like a deluxe special version of it that concludes a book for like $60-something including tax. It's pretty neat. I have one of the like skit things signed by the whole cast of Tales of the Abyss that I bought a while back. So that kind of stuff's kind of neat. They often come like signed or things like that. It'll come out next year. It's a 2-CD thing. It was a really good symphonic concert of it. I'm like, man, if I was in Japan and able to go there, I would absolutely do that. But I think it was a digital only one because of COVID and stuff.
Kind of like the recent Undertale concerts.
Exactly. Really, really good though. I love the music from those games. It's one of my favorite parts of it, and they did a really good job with it. Highly suggest looking that up if you haven't seen it. We also got a big piece of news of Tales of Arise. We got spoiled. Was it last year at E3 for a trailer for it? We haven't seen anything since. I think it was like the game director or something. Came out and said, progressing fine. We got delayed because of COVID and stuff. It's coming next year, basically. Or there's supposed to be big info coming in 2021. The second half of the 25th anniversary stuff, which is next year, because I think this they're counting it like December or September or whatever, like second half of this year to like next year, basically. They're doing as the 25th anniversary. Supposedly there's some big news coming about it next year. I assume it was supposed to come out this year, so I expect it coming out next year. There'll probably be like a surprise announcement where it's like coming in a month or two or something, is my guess. But it's really good to hear that like it's progressing well despite COVID and everything. As you know, I love these games, so a new piece of content is always very exciting. I think it's pretty neat.
It looks like a departure from the Tales gameplay. Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's a little bit more action based. I'm expecting them to keep elements of both, but less like random encounters and more maybe open world encounters. I'm interested to see how they incorporate it. I really need to rewatch the trailer for it again. I haven't seen it since we watched it at E3. However, pretty neat. I'm excited to see what they do with it. They, despite, you know, some of their games being like okay-ish to some people, I've enjoyed every single one I've played. Some might be lesser than others, obviously, but there's been enjoyment for me. I love the systems. I love the combat. I love everything that they've done with the series. So I'm very excited to see what they do with it. And then I think the last thing I have is from Kotobukiya, they're doing Tales of the Abyss statues of Luke and Ash, which I'm very excited about. I don't know if I'm going to put the money into it because it's like $250 for the statues.
Yeah.
But I want them real bad. As you guys know, this is like my favorite game. As the listeners don't know, you guys know, I just got a Tales of the Abyss tattoo. This is like, means the world to me as a game. I really want these statues. It comes with, you know, the final dungeon where there's like that platform, the white circular platform thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's them standing on that. And you can like adjust, it's a magnetic base. So you can place them wherever you want on it and stuff. And then
that's actually pretty hype.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And if you get it from Kotobukiya US store, it comes with reversible, like different faces. One where they're like, cause like they're serious in the main pictures. And then this one will have them where they're like, kind of smiling. It's pretty cool. I love them because they're two separate statues that you could put on this base and stuff. Depending on like if we get the bonus stimulus that they're talking about, maybe. Probably not. But if I get back to work soon, doing more work and stuff or whatever, I'll probably pick them up at some point. I might have to buy them on the secondhand market, which is going to suck. But I know I want these because there's so little Tales of the Abyss like stuff out there.
Yeah.
And this is the 15th anniversary. Like I got my tattoo because of the 15th anniversary of the game, and it means so much to me, plus some other stuff. So this is something that I'm like very much interested in. It's pretty cool though. It's neat. And I think that's the main coverage I have. Tales of Crystoria is having their like anniversary summons and stuff like that. Nothing super major between that. But there's a lot of like little news things that we got out of there, which is really neat as somebody who's a fan of the series. It's a good swath of things because I feel like they don't give us a ton all at, like it'll be like here and there. We'll have like big bursts of news and then nothing for a while. So it was nice to get that big burst of news again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tales of Arise, I'm super hyped for. So I'm excited to see what they look at as they're like moving forward, because I think there's two or three main teams for Tales series. So like Symphonia and Abyss had two separate teams, if I remember correctly, and things like that. And they've kind of went on to work on different games and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah. That really reminds me of how like Square Enix really does it, where they do have like their main Final Fantasy team, and then they've had the MMO team, and then they've had like the spin-off team. And then more recently, we've been seeing a lot of crossover between those teams. I know a lot of the online team is working on Final Fantasy 16. Because Yoshi P ended up moving over.
That's right. It's pretty big. That's what's happening on 16.
And then a long while ago, we saw the main team, who usually focused on like the old school RPG, switch over to their side game department, and then they made Bravely Default.
That's right. Like, so yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with the Tales of Arise. Because like the Tales series combat system has always been kind of actiony, like it's random encounters, but then you kind of go into an action combat, you know. As you guys know, you played it. So it's one of those things where I'm interested to see what they do with it, because I think they have a unique opportunity to do something different. Zestiria and Berseria I enjoyed, but didn't like. Most people didn't like Zestiria. I like what they did with Berseria for the fact of it was different. Like, you're kind of playing an anti-hero kind of thing.
Yeah.
And everybody hates you, which is kind of a neat, like, different route for it, because it's like Zestiria is very much a traditional, like, more vanilla style RPG. Yeah. Which was fine. Like, I like those kind of games sometimes, because you play like the titular, like, oh, I'm the hero who's going to save the world, versus the kind of reverse in Berseria, because they're connected. One is a prequel to the other one.
Yeah.
That we didn't know until we got the game, really. So, which is kind of neat that they're linked like that, because they haven't really done that much. There's only been a handful of games that were like direct sequels. Symphonia got one. Destiny got one that we never really got the English version for, the proper sequel. And then we've got then there's Zesty and Berseria. Even though they're connected, they could play them separately. Yeah. Like the special, like a bunch of the dungeons are connected, where like the EX dungeon here is like another dungeon in this game and things like that, which is pretty cool. Hmm. But yeah, they're widely connected. Like the Zestiria one and Berseria ones were like mixed. Like, some people really loved them, some people didn't. It's very divisive as a topic. Unlike like Vesperia, Symphonia, and Abyss, which are like the holy trinity of the games, I feel like.
Yeah.
That it's one of those kind of deals. So. Yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a lot of news kind of all at once, and I tried to kind of plow through it so we didn't go too long. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have any questions or notes about whatever I just talked about?
Yeah, I say go for the statue, because if they ever anything Tactics Advanced, I would hop on that in a second. We have zero Tactics Advanced merch. We literally have the cards, and that is it.
I'm always so disappointed by the Tales of merch halftime, because usually it's like, here's a keychain, you know, because it's like the Japanese, like the ones that they pass out. Like, remember when we went to that store in Japan, Ty?
Yeah.
Right by the mall. Yeah.
It was right, like, right by the mall that had the Poké Center in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Basically, everything there was like, here's these things. Even the stuff that was from like their official like Tales Festival event was like all these like little tchotchke things. So I'm like, this is the one of the first ones that I've seen in relative years, because I know they exist. There's a couple statues that are out there, but this is the nicest one that they've come out with. And man, it's so cool. I think it comes out. When does it come out? I don't know if we have a release date on it, but because they revealed the prototypes. They announced them back in July. I think we got like sketches or something. This is the first time we've seen the prototypes for it. So I think they should be coming fairly soon, I would expect. Yeah. But they revealed them on the 15th anniversary day and stuff. And I'm just like, man, it's so cool. I want it. but yeah, that just about covers it for me for Tales. Did you have anything, Jack or Ty, anything else besides the buy the statue?
Do it.
No, that's it, man.
Oh, that's it. I'm good.
Cool. Yeah, we have one less topic than normal today, but I think it was fine. I like this.
Yeah. I mean, we went on. I mean, when there's a KFC console on the horizon, you have to sacrifice another topic for that. That is too much.
It's all about KFC.
Yeah.
Of course.
Who needs a big news story when you got Big Chicken?
Exactly.
I think that does it for us.
Yeah. I was going to say, if that wraps up everything, I'm Ty.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jack, and that was the Magazine Rack.
We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye.